The words that our Father give us today is Acts chapter 14, verse 19. Please allow me to read. Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. There is a saying that to hold one's tongue is like gold. Man's mind is full of thoughts, and only those thoughts that are filtered through men's judgments and wisdoms are turned into action. Such a person is referred to as a thoughtful person. On the other hand, a person who speaks before he thinks or acts necessarily leads a superficial life because his words and deeds are not consistent. In that sense, silence is gold. By remaining silent, one is able to organize one's thoughts and allows you to make sound judgments. It also allows you to see things below the surface. Therefore, a person who possesses the ability to hold his tongue will not live a superficial life. The saying that silence is gold does not only apply to relationships among people, but also applies in the same way to men's relationship with God. While experiencing hardship and pain, which he could not avoid, David sang as follows. Psalm chapter 62, verse 5. My soul waits in silence for God only, for my hope is from Him. David did not cry to God, asking only that he be saved from hardship and pain. It's important when the people are in turbulent situation, it is important to cry out to God. But telling his own soul to wait in silence for only God. However, one must not merely cry out to God. You cannot escape from such a situation by merely crying out toward God. What is important is not to avoid such an undesirable situation, but to determine what God's will is while experiencing such a situation. And that is why David stopped crying out to God and kept silence. The Hebrew verb danan, which in our language is translated as wait in silence, means to become mute or to remain silent. David, through his silence, he realized that his hope came from God only. Is it not so? No matter what situation we face, what greater hope could there be than to know that God, who made the heaven and the earth, is our God? And that is why David's song continues as follows in Psalm chapter 62, verse 6. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. God, who is my hope, is not someone who exists conceptually in sky, but He is a rock in this world during times of pain and suffering. He is our fortress and our Savior. And so what in this world could shake me? In this belief, David, who was only a shepherd from Bethlehem, became molded into the trusted instrument of God. But this did not happen automatically. It was through his silence before God that he was able to receive God's grace. Definitely, silence is gold. Also, there is the saying that silence is the same as speech. To hold one's tongue means to remain silent, while giving a speech means to speak loudly and energetically without hesitation. Therefore, it's impossible to give a speech while remaining silent, and giving a speech is not silence, logically and in common sense. Silence is the same as speech. Does not make sense. However, there is no one among us who would raise an issue as to this paradoxical saying that silence is the same as speech. It would be a waste of time to respond to the words spoken by a nonsensical person, a person who makes false incriminations for hardly any reason, or a person who is following a script to trap someone. That is because such a person has no intention of listening to what the other has to say. In such situations, there is no louder speech than silence. In that case, silence is the strongest and most effective negative response to false claims. The leaders of the Jewish church, intending to kill Jesus, dragged Jesus, who had been praying on Gethsemane, to the high priest's house. The high priest, the teachers of the law, and the elders had already gathered there. They made accusations against Jesus by using false witnesses. However, Jesus did not respond at all to the false testimony of the false witnesses, but remained silent, according to Mark chapter 14, verse 61. On that day, Jesus responded only once by acknowledging, when asked if he was the Christ, he did so, for that was the truth. And he remained silent to all false testimonies. But by remaining silent, it became clearer, by contrast, that Jesus, who had been accused, is the truth, and the leaders of the Jewish church, who had made a false accusation against Jesus according to pre-planned scripts, were evil people. Jesus' silence was, in fact, his great speech. Like this, silence is not only gold, but speech as well. What is important is that silence also did not mean servile. If someone lived all his life in silence, never speaking a word, although not a person with a speech disability, then that someone is an abnormal person who does not understand the true meaning of silence. If silence is important, it's not because of the silence itself, but because the silence is the womb that conceives the right words. Therefore, when you keep silence when you should speak, It's an act of cowardice, instead of being gold or speech, when one remains silent, even though speech was called for. When Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey in order to suffer on the cross, his disciples praised him by referring to him as the King who comes in the name of the Lord. The Pharisees, who were displeased to hear this, asked Jesus to rebuke his disciple, to which Jesus responded as follows. According to Luke chapter 19, verse 40, I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out. Our Lord said that if the people remain silent when it called for them to say what need to be said, the stones will cry out on their behalf. In other words, it means that a person who remains silent when he ought to speak is of a lesser being than a stone. Because remaining silent when one needs to speak is indistinguishable from servility. Upon hearing Paul tell him to stand upright on your feet, the crippled man from birth, who had never stood on his feet or took a step in his life, suddenly got to his feet and walked. The people of Lystra who witnessed this were all amazed. In their eyes, this was not something a human being could do. Firmly believing that Barnabas, who was impressive in appearance to be Zeus of Greek mythology, and Paul, who was of lesser appearance, to be Hermes. The people of Lystra, who worshipped the Greek gods, tried to offer them sacrifices and garlands. Paul and Barnabas told the people of Lystra to turn away from the meaningless act of worshipping things that they could see and to believe in God, the creator of heaven and earth, and all things in it. They barely managed to prevent the people of Lystra to offer sacrifice to them. However, news of Paul raising a crippled man from birth to his feet in Lystra travels all the way to Iconium and Pisidian Antioch, located at a distance of 45 kilometers and 225 kilometers, respectively. The Jews who had turned Paul and Barnabas away from their cities conspired with each other and attacked Paul and Barnabas in Lystra. By cleverly stirring up the people of Lystra, who stood in awe of Paul and Barnabas, they caused the people of Lystra to shun people and Barnabas. And today's text describes the result of such conduct. Verse 19 says, but the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. The people of Lystra so respected Paul that they wanted to worship him, believing he was a god. They, however, were urged by Jews whom they met first and stoned to Paul. It was not simple to threaten and expel Paul. After they stoned Paul, and Paul did not move, the people of Lystra thought Paul was dead and abandoned him outside the city. The Greek, from the beginning, it was clear they wanted to kill Paul. The Greek word suro, meaning drag, in Korean. They, in fact, wanted to stone Paul, to kill him from the beginning. When thinking Paul was dead, they dragged him outside the city. that represent the people of Lystra stoned Paul to death inside Lystra city based on Leviticus chapter 24 verse 14 and Deuteronomy chapter 15 verse 35. It was strictly banned to stone someone to death inside the city. For this reason, Jews went outside the city whenever they tried to stone someone to death. This is why the first martyr of early church, Stephen, was also first dragged outside the city and was stoned by Jewish people, according to Acts chapter 7, verse 58. Who won over the people of Lystra and led them to stone Paul were Jews from Pisidian Antioch and Iconium. Paul, whom they wanted to kill, was also a Jew. Then they had to first drive Paul outside the city and stone him according to the law. But the Jews were afraid that the people of Lystra would change their minds and broke the law that they strictly followed and stoned Paul to death inside the city. The people of Lystra and the Jews did not stone Paul to death in a remote area where no one could see. They stoned Paul in broad daylight inside the city. Then, in front of a crowd, Paul was stoned harshly enough to have people think he died. Then we can categorize the people there at the time when Paul was stoned to death into some groups. The first group would be those who stoned Paul with Jews. The second would be those who did not stone but shouted for joy when Paul was stoned and criticized and derided him. Although they did not stone Paul, but their action and their words completely denied him. So they're not different from the first group who stoned Paul. And the third group includes those who kept silent when Paul was stoned to death. And in a desperate situation where injustice smothered justice, what kind of person are those who remain silent? Those who were weak-hearted, warm-hearted, those who thought stoning Paul to death was not right, and those were reluctant to interfere in others' business, might be there at the time, being silent. However, if those who kept silence were only those kinds of people, we would not have to even think about them in this precious worship. To us who believe in Jesus Christ, those kind of people are out of our interest. Verse 20 in today's scripture mentioned about the disciples who gather around Paul thinking he was dead when the Jews dragged Paul outside the city, believing he was dead. Commentators generally interpret that the disciples were gathered at the time to confirm Paul's death and to discuss how they prepare the funeral for Paul. Those disciples were people of Lystra who accepted the gospel preached by Paul and came to believe in Jesus. Luke especially called them disciples to emphasize they were also disciples of Jesus Christ. If they were disciples of Jesus, they must say when they have to say, Jesus Christ is the Logos, the Word. And it's the duty of disciples to spread the Word, the Logos, through the mouth of a human being. They, however, did not say anything when the wrong trampled on the rights. They just closed their mouths and remained silent. They only talked to discuss how they prepare for Paul's funeral when thinking Paul was dead. That, however, is not surprising, considering they just accepted the gospel and started to believe in God. What really shocking is the silence of Barnabas. In Acts chapter 14, verse 4, Barnabas, as a member of the group led by Paul, is called an apostle along with Paul. Although the word apostle is generally used for Christian, an apostle 2,000 years ago in early churches meant a leader of early churches. Then Barnabas called apostle was harsh, unlike the Christians of Lystra who just started accepting the gospel. When Paul called out to the crippled man and he stood up, the people of Lystra called Barnabas, who were impressive in presence, Zeus, father of Greek gods, and paid respect to him. But the people of Lystra, who were urged by Jews, did not stone Barnabas at all. They, along with the Jews, try to kill only Paul. It was perhaps as Paul was considered Hermes, a messenger of Zeus and a god of oratory. The one who spread the word of God was also Paul. But Barnabas, who was able to avoid the stoning, watched Paul dying, being stoned by the people of Lystra and Jews. He kept silence. Who is Barnabas? Isn't he the preacher who traveled the Mediterranean region with Paul to spread the gospel for the first time in the history of Christianity? Isn't he the senior pastor of the church of Antioch and a leader of early churches being called an apostle? Then he would have tried to stop the people of Lystra from stoning Paul, even if it risked him to be stoned together, and should have rebuked them. But he did not say anything. the record of a Bible is very strict and correct. Therefore, if it's recorded in Bible, it has certainly the reason why it was recorded, and it was not recorded in the Bible, and there must be the reasons too. If Barnabas said any word to the crowd at the scene, Bible would definitely mention it. But by not mentioning Barnabas' behavior at the scene where Paul was being stoned to death, Bible ironically emphasizes that Barnabas was silent at the time. Why was he silent at the moment? Was it because silence is gold at that moment? Was it because silence was an eloquence at the moment? No, it was not. It was because he became frightened. He became coward. Before the stone throwing from the rioters. Let's look at verse 20. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. Everybody thought that Paul was dead, but he dramatically revived. He returned to Lystra as if nothing happened. He went to Derbe with Barnabas on the next day. When Paul, who was considered dead, returned alive, could Barnabas face Paul? As if nothing happened with the Paul who did not blame Barnabas, who did not show any sign of feeling disappointed in Barnabas for not supporting him at the scene of being stoned. On the way to Derbe, what word could Barnabas say to Paul, who never blamed him at all? We learned three lessons in today's scripture. Firstly, most Christians who pledged their faith in God lapse into silence cowardly when they were not supposed to do. Needless to say, it is because of our sinful nature. Secondly, God works through those who are not silent when they are not supposed to be. At the decisive moments, Barnabas, who was silent, vanished after chapter 16. And from that moment, Acts became the stage only for Paul, who talked without fear when he was supposed to talk. Lastly, even when those who were supposed to be on your side betrays you, when you suffer for the truth, do not blame anybody else. Don't be disappointed in those who did not take your side. No matter how cowardly they act, God works through us. God is bigger than any one of us. Jesus said like this in Matthew chapter 12 through 36 through 37. But I tell you that men will have to give accounts on the day of judgments for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. The Lord judges us on what we say. What we say is what we are. Do not disgrace yourself by letting your words precede your action. Remember that silence is gold and eloquence. But let us have wisdom to be silent when we have to be silent, and courage not to be silent when we shouldn't be silent. In Jesus Christ and through Jesus' power. Let us be silent when we should be silent, and let us not be silent when we should not be silent. Therefore, even if we get disadvantages and those who are supposed to be on our side become silent, let us rather be grateful, rather let us worship God and thank God, then as always, through such person, on this National Foundation Day, God will renew this world. Let us pray. Lord, I've lived in disgrace of breaking silence when I have to be silent, and cowardice of being silent when we shouldn't be silent. Thank you for letting us realize that our lives have been no better than a stone you can find anywhere. You said, but I tell you that men will have to give accounts on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. We confess our sin, that we've been speaking carelessly and meaninglessly. And, dear Lord, forgive our sins. From now on, let us have wisdom to be silent when we have to be silent, and courage not to be silent when we shouldn't be silent. As the consequences of such acts, even if some disadvantages are given to us and those who are supposed to be on our side lapse in silence, don't let us be disappointed or frustrated. Through our humble lives, you renew this world. Let us praise and thank you for that. Therefore, let our silence be precious gold and great eloquence and everlasting channel to deliver your words. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who was silent and not silent when he was supposed to be. Amen.